is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Great to be with you, and we're going to continue our series, The Call, The Chosen, The Faithful. Write to us with your comments. Let us know you've been praying for us, for the success of Bible Home Church. Appreciate that so much. And also, we cherish your love gifts to this ministry, and we appreciate your financial support so much. And at the same time, we want to pray for you. Let us know your prayer needs. Well, we've got the cathedrals here. Before we continue with our series, The Call, The Chosen, The Faithful, we've got the cathedrals, and this is from the same album we've been playing for a little while here of the cathedrals. And I like this song. I've always loved this song. This is what Jesus means to me. That's what Jesus means to me by the cathedrals.
You can take all my possessions, all the things that men hold dear, all the precious gifts that this old world can hold. But the love I found at Calvary far exceeds my fondest dreams. It's a love that can't be bought by this world's gold. And you ask me why I love him, why I choose to walk this way. Well, I find his service sweeter every day.
Every day.
It's the only life worth living. He has made our home complete. Oh, that's what Jesus means.
Then each night around sundown, my girls all gather round. When the clouds of gloom and doubt would hover low, and they whisper, "Dad, we really love you," and my doubts just seems so small. He's made our home a heaven here below. And you ask me why I love him, why I choose to walk this way. Well, I find his service sweeter
called, the chosen, and the faithful. How to discern the true Israel from the synagogue of Satan. You know, a lot of people talk about the Jews, in other words, that particular race, being God's chosen people. But as I've shown you, there is no word called Jew in the book of Genesis that has relationship to Abraham. God said nothing about the Jews being the seed of Abraham here in the book of Genesis. He said nothing about the Jews being given an everlasting covenant. He said nothing about the Jews. In fact, for that matter, even a nation, a physical geographical nation in the Middle East called Israel being the seed. It's not there. It's just simply not there. But do you want to know about who God's chosen are? Jesus said to those who believed in him, he said, I have chosen you out of the world. Paul said, we may not be the nobleman, we may not be the richest, we may not be the so-called most educated, because God hath chosen the foolish, weak, despised things. That's in 1 Corinthians. And then Peter said it the best. You want to know who the holy nation of Israel is? Do you want to know who the chosen generation? Now, the word generation there means race. Race. That's right. God, in the King James Bible, the word generation almost always means race. A race of people. But ye are a chosen generation. Peter's talking to Christians, to the church. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. My friends, are you a chosen race? Are you a royal priesthood? Are you a citizen of a holy nation? The holy nation of God? Are you this peculiar people because you're different than the rest of the world? Because Jesus has chosen you out of the world? Then you are God's chosen. Paul used the word chosen. Jesus used the word chosen. Peter used the word chosen. All to refer to those who believe in Jesus Christ and are saved because of their faith in him. Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Are you one of the people of God? Then you are chosen out of the world. You're a chosen generation or race, a holy nation. And you know, God has a mission for you. Now, this is the most important thing for you to remember. A lot of people say, Tex, do you think that the Jews are God's chosen people? I always ask them, chosen for what? And then they become absolutely bonkers. They don't even know what I'm talking about. Listen to me very careful. Very carefully. This is the most important thing you may hear today, this week, this month, this year, or your whole life. Listen to me very carefully. Hear me out, my friends. Your life depends on it, and the life perhaps of your loved ones and of many, many people who will come into contact with you. If you are chosen by God, then you must and you will want to serve him. And you will want to feed his sheep. Jesus said, John 15, I am the true vine. What does that have to do with you? He said to the Christians, I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. He is the vine, and you are part of the tree of life. And Jesus is the vine. And my friends, listen to me. If you do not bring forth fruit, you are not of him. You're some kind of a parasite on this tree. You know, back in the old days, the legend of mistletoe gained great vintage throughout the British Isles. And now we have the custom at Christmas, if you stand under the mistletoe, with the person of the opposite sex, it's okay to kiss them because it's supposed to bring, you know, feelings of love and romance and passion. Stand under the mistletoe and you'll want to kiss the person next to you. Why, you even have a license to. Make sure it's your wife, fellows, or you're in big trouble. Now, it's interesting that I didn't realize until many years ago and began to study this issue that this came right out of the Druid witchcraft religion. But it's fascinating that the mistletoe is a parasite plant, and it gets on trees and will begin to strangle the tree. And if you have too much mistletoe on a tree, it will kill the tree. It's not part of the tree. It's a disease. It's like a virus. It's hanging on independently. And a tree that has this kind of a plant hanging onto it and has the growth sucked out of it cannot produce good fruit. And so fruit farmers will want to take off the mistletoe and throw it away. Jesus said in John, I have chosen you. Chosen, there we have that word again. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. My friends, if you are God's chosen, then you are ordained and you will go and bring forth fruit. That's your job. That's your mission. That's your only purpose in life. You thought you were here to serve yourself. You thought you were here to have pleasure and have fun and take up joy. Not so. That's not your main mission. You have a responsibility and obligation to God to serve Him. You say, I don't want to do that. I'm too busy doing my own thing. Well, then great. Do it all the way to the end of your life on earth and go to hell. I mean, I'm sorry. That's what's going to happen to you. And that would be tragic. I don't want to see that happen to you. Neither does God. Nevertheless, if you're not chosen by God, that will be your fate. But for Christians, God says, I have chosen you out of the world. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Anyone who is chosen by God, any nation that is chosen by God, will bring forth fruit. My friends, bringing forth fruit means disciples of Jesus Christ, making disciples, going forth throughout all the world and bringing the great commission of Christ. That's your job. Most Christians seem to have forgotten that. And that's why when somebody says to me, are the Jews God's chosen? I say, for what? What are they chosen for? Oh, well, just because God liked them, because they're Jews. He must have liked that particular DNA combination, their physical race. Baloney! Did he like Abraham because he was of a certain race, a certain physical type? Was it because he was bald or brown or white or red in complexion? Because he had 6 fingers or 5 fingers? Hey, listen to me. There was one reason that God favored Abraham. Not because of his looks or his race or anything else. It was that he believed. And God counted that belief, that faith in God for righteousness. Now, friends, if you're God's chosen, you will believe in Him because He has chosen you. You will believe in Him. He will count that for righteousness. He will send you forth as an ambassador because He is the true vine and you will go forth and bring good fruit to Him. And if the nation of Israel does not bring forth good fruit, it's not chosen. Because the chosen will bring forth good fruit. And let me tell you something, my friend. They will even fight the Antichrist and the beast in the last days, God's chosen will. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are one of God's chosen people, you're going to fight evil with every fiber of being in you. Listen to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 14. It talks about the 10 horns that come up on the world. in the last days, 10 world leaders, they'll be one with the beast. They'll give all of their power and strength unto the beast. And it's, and listen to what it says. It says, these shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Whoever is God's chosen is called by God and chosen and faithful. And we only are obligated and we are driven, my friends, to make war with the beast. Now I'm telling you, my friends, that's what we do here. Every day we make war with the beast. Why do we do it? Well, evidently, because the beast is so strong and seemingly so powerful, we must be, my friends, foolish. I know I'm weak. I know that as Christians we are despised by the world. But listen, my friends, listen, overcoming all of that, because we are overcomers, is this fact. God has chosen Tex Mars. Why would he choose you, Tex Mars? You're not so smart. You're not so handsome. You're not so articulate. You're not so bright. Every once in a while, my wife reminds me of that when I get forgetful and things. That's true. I do have my senior moments sometimes. But listen, overcoming all of that, I am chosen because I believe in Jesus Christ. And God hath chosen the foolish, weak, despised things for his kingdom. I am called, I am chosen, and I am faithful. And in those things that I'm not faithful enough, I repent and say, Lord, give me more faith. I love that story in the Bible of the man who cried out to Jesus, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now people in the charismatic word of faith move, but they don't understand that. They think they have to be strong and powerful and like a God. They can command and decree things into existence. That's a bunch of baloney. Listen to me, my friends. You can be weak. You can be despised, you can be foolish, and you can get on your knees and cry out and say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I'm weak, I need more strength. Lord, I need help. My friends, you will find peace in turbulent times if you cry out to God. Admit your weakness, admit your foolishness, admit your lack of faith. Did you know God will give you more faith? A lot of people believe they have to have faith to get things. That's their problem. They want to get things. It doesn't take faith to get things. There's a lot of crooks and corrupt criminals out there that get things all the time. And the only thing they have faith in is a gun or a knife. That's not what life is for. What are the Jews chosen for? Now listen to me very carefully. Those Jews throughout the centuries who have believed in the true God, and since Jesus Christ came in the flesh, have believed in Jesus. They are part of the chosen. They are chosen people if they accept Jesus Christ. But if they're not of Jesus Christ, they're still of the world. And they haven't been chosen out of the world. And they're not chosen. They're not ordained to go forth and bring forth fruit. Because the only fruit that an unsaved man can bring forth is fruit of the serpent. Why do you think that all of the pictures in the occult literature show the serpent wrapped around an item of fruit? An apple or a pear. Pomegranates. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Remember what it said in there? And a lot of people go back and say, Tex, you just don't understand the book of Genesis. It says there that Abraham is going to be the father of Israel, the father of the Jews. And I say to them, you better go back and read it yourself. But you don't even have to go to Genesis. Listen to what Romans says. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, as it is written. He's referring to Genesis. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, according to that which thou hast spoken, so also shall thy seed be. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 talks about the calling. It says, he has called us to glory according to his divine power. Peter also says, brethren, give diligence to make sure your calling, to make your calling and election sure. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isn't that wonderful? Who are God's chosen? My friends, if you have Jesus Christ, you're part of the body. You're part of His Spirit. You have one hope. You have been called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. Are you part of that great movement? I pray that you are. I pray that you're one of the called, the chosen, the faithful, the true Israel, and not the synagogue of Satan. I'll tell you, when I read the Bible, sometimes I break out in tears. I really do. It's so profound, so prophetic. And many times I read the book of Revelation and I begin just to bawl and cry. Is it because I'm such a sweet, sensitive guy? I don't think so. It's just that the words are so compelling. And the opportunity that people in this world have to serve God, to be eternally happy and secure, is so great, and yet they reject it. They, no matter what God does for people, it says in the last days, He finally brings His vengeance, and these plagues begin to fall on people. Horrible things begin to happen. But it says they repented not. They still repented not of their idol worship and their murders and their iniquities of all kinds. And, you know, I really don't know how God can be so patient. When I see the things that are going around in the world today, the child pornography, the child molestation, even the murder of little kids, abduction of young girls right out of their front yards, out of their bedrooms, by monstrous, heinous, criminal killers. I don't know why God is so patient. I suppose it's what the Bible says, that He wishes nobody to perish. I mean, there are people that just don't deserve a chance. Let me tell you something. In my own human incapacity to understand, I say, God, send these people on to hell. Get rid of them. Take them out. Destroy them. I say that those kind of things sometimes, and my precious wife, Wanda, she must think that I'm just a mean, mean man, you know. She says, well, Tex, we need to pray for those people. We need to, you know, a woman is a little bit softer than a man sometime in those things. Or maybe God has given Wanda more ability to understand. I don't know. I have an incapacity to understand. But I do seek the mind of Christ, but it's hard for me not to just say, Lord, give me the sword and I'll get rid of these people for you. You know, people such as this Avila that killed this little girl in California in the Riverside area and abducted her from her front yard. I mean, I always say, you know, you really don't need a judge and a jury or anything else. Just give me 5 minutes alone with a guy. I'll get rid of him after what he's done. But I guess some people would say, well, that's cruel. You know, you're not really a Christian to say such things. But I am just sick and tired. I see compassion as caring for that poor little precious girl, that little victim. That's the one I care about, not the murderer. But be that as it may, God is more compassionate than me. I understand that. And you know, to some extent, I'm glad he does have mercy more than even I could bear. If it were not for that mercy, I suppose I'd be gone too. I mean, I've never murdered anybody or even had murderous thoughts toward anybody, but certainly I'm a sinner also. And maybe I don't deserve mercy, but God has been merciful to me.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.